Welcome to today's edition of the Rush Limbaugh Show podcast.
What a tremendous honor to join you on this program, on this network, on this, the day the Lord has made for us as a gift for us, and the times such as these through which he's decided we'll live. Phone number is 800-282-2882. Love to chat with you today. We're about to play for you in just a few minutes. I think perhaps the most important bit of audio you'll hear all day and perhaps all week. And it's from the archives of Rush's Wisdom. We'll get to Biden's press conference where he offered kids the opportunity to get into a basement and pet puppies if they get a vaccine and the mRNA injections and free beers for people, because that's how you honestly push a needed medical procedure, is you con people. That's what you do. And I always reflect back on President Trump and what it took to get Trump to let the deep state near him was to lie to him, to lie to the president and tell him there were going to be these many more deaths. And that it was that pushed President Trump into allowing Tony Fauci in. It wasn't, hey, we're going to put your family in prison. Trump persisted. It wasn't, we're going to put you in prison. Trump persisted to try to make America great again. But when it came to the lives of Americans, President Trump stepped forward to do what he thought he was doing to save lives. And I still believe that he thought that. Obviously, he thought that. The emails from Tony Fauci are the story of the decade. And it's frustrating for some of us because some of us have been playing audio of Fauci saying for well over a year, well, wearing a mask in the middle of a pandemic doesn't provide the protection most people think it does. In fact, it might do some harm. The emails show that Fauci lied about everything. Everything. Masks being the most obvious because people have to wear them on their face. Asymptomatic transmission. The very excuse for masks in the first place, for the medically useless, deadly, politically advantageous lockdowns of small business but not big business, schools but not abortion clinics, churches but not liquor stores. That was the excuse, asymptomatic transmission. Fauci knew that wasn't a factor, and he lied. Now it's in black and white for everybody to see in writing. Here's my question for you. What was the motive? Just the election? Just Orange Man bad? I would wager that was part of it, part of the reason that Tony Fauci lied about everything. Part of the reason that the World Health Organization is erasing the existence of the human immune system, that's not Orange Man bad. Because Orange Man bad is not in the White House. And they made that change. Oh, yeah, herd immunity, that's a theory. It only happens with injections. What was the motive for the lies? Who, what, where, when, why? So let's examine something. Let's take the name Fauci, Tony Fauci, and let's replace it with the name Jonathan Gruber. Jonathan Gruber was the architect, or one of them, of Obamacare, along with Mitt Romney and his version of that. The goal of Obamacare was what? It's affordable health care, right? Well, except it stole the plans of 6 million people when it launched, including my plan was stolen from me. What was the goal? Control your health. Control your body. No one in the world did a better job of exposing what Obamacare was than Rush. So, folks, this may be the most important audio here all day, maybe all week. Obamacare was based upon a huge deep state lie, just like the masks and selective lockdowns were based upon huge lies from the deep state.
Here is the original Gruber video, just so you can hear it again. This is October 17th, 2013, at the University of Pennsylvania.
This bill was written in a tortured way to make sure CBO did not score the mandate as taxes. If CBO scored the mandate as taxes, the bill dies. Okay? So it's written to do that. In terms of risk-rated subsidies, if you had a law which said healthy people are going to pay in, it made explicit that healthy people pay in and sick people get money, it would not have passed. Okay? Lack of transparency is a huge political advantage. And basically, you know, call it the stupidity of the American voter or whatever. But basically, that was really, really critical to getting the thing to pass.
It's a theme. It's a running theme. It's a running theme, and it's a joke. The American people are too stupid. We had to lie to them to get it passed. And again, I think what he's actually saying is the American people may figure out what we're doing if we tell them the truth, so we have to lie to them. I think he's worried they're too smart, actually. When he says the American people are too stupid, what he's really saying is, you know, they're not brilliant enough to agree with us. That's what he means by the American people being stupid. This is arrogant, condescending conceit like you can't believe. It's not that you're too stupid to understand what they're doing. You're too stupid to agree with them. You don't have the brain power to be a good liberal. And so they have to lie to you. They have to be dishonest on purpose and lie to you about what's in this bill to get you to vote for it because they know they're in the minority. They know that they're governing against the will of the people. And they know what they have to do to overcome that. They have to lie and laugh about it at the same time. The legislation was so important. It was so fundamentally transformative. It's going to change this country forever. Going to change this country into something it was never founded to be. And to do that, the American people had to be lied to. 3 days have gone by, and not a syllable in the mainstream media. This story remains segregated. It remains relegated to talk radio and to Fox News on occasion. Obamacare is not just a fundamental change to our country. It is a transformative, forever altering, throw everything upside down change in the way this country was founded, the way this country was intended to operate. The fact that the primary architect has been out admitting that they lied every time they had to get this thing passed, that they couldn't dare let people know what was really in it because it wouldn't pass. They had to lie to the American people. The fact that this story is not the lead story and has not been the lead story at ABC, CBS, NBC, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The LA Times, The Wall Street Journal, and all of the others. The fact that that story has yet to appear in any drive-by media outlet is one of the greatest examples of the challenge that we still face. It represents a great example of what still needs to be overcome. The architect flat out saying they had to lie. And he's joking about it with his fellow economics buddies. They had to flat out lie. They're giving themselves pats on the back. The American people are too stupid. And it doesn't make the news. I find this not surprising, but it certainly is noteworthy. In the old days, you know what they would call this? Smoking gun. There aren't any such things anymore.
Did that give anyone else chills? Amazon.com is making their employees wear stickers to show they've been injected with the mRNA injections. And if you choose to do that, I trust that you're an adult who's made a good, reasonable decision. Other people who are going to choose to not get injected will not get a sticker at Amazon. Obamacare, a fundamental transformation of the American economy, the American way of life. You were forced to purchase a product you didn't want from companies you don't like at prices you can't afford for services you do not need. Has anyone seen a full-scale questioning yet of the lives lost in the lockdowns? Suicides? Lack of medical care? Anyone? I know there are targeted articles. I've read them. But a broad-scale investigation? The fundamental change now appears to be if you want to fly on airlines, you will get injected with a treatment you don't want for a condition from which you're not at risk, a condition for which other people can choose at any time to receive an mRNA injection. Or you'll be relegated to wearing a mask in your workplace, a mask that Fauci himself knew, knows, and has always known, doesn't do anything to inhibit the transmission of an upper respiratory virus. So what's the end game? What's the motive for the lies? Will Fauci ever have to answer for this? There is so much more to mine in terms of Rush's wisdom on this, such as a Rush axiom. We'll get to that. Now, when we come back, I want you to hear Joe Biden speaking behind his militarized fence in Washington, D.C., a fence that exists for theatrical purposes only. And I want you to hear the words of a man telling everybody, without regard to their particular biology or risk status or age, that if they want to have 4th of July, well, you know what to do. And when we play that audio, let's reflect upon what we just heard from Rush Limbaugh, Jonathan Gruber. And let's just picture Fauci replacing Gruber. Let's see how we feel about what Biden says. We'll get to that as we continue. Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. So much to explore. The hacking of the meat supplier, beef supplier. And just a question to plant in everybody's mind. What happens when the ransom isn't money, but it's U.S. policy or U.S. personnel? Now, back to where we began. Rush's analysis of Obamacare and Jonathan Gruber, the architect of Obamacare, bragging about lying. They knew your plan was gone once it launched, right? And Tony Fauci has lied about everything in regard to the response to the COVID flu. Masks, asymptomatic transmission, he lied by omission about death rates, never providing context that for most people, this is less deadly than a common flu. Right now, Alex Berenson is a former New York Times reporter who has been way out ahead on the COVID lies. He writes just now on Twitter, 48 hours after the Fauci emails came out, and as far as I can tell, the New York Times has written not one word about them. What did we watch in the wake of this COVID thing? We saw frontline doctors fired for questioning the lockdowns and asymptomatic transmission. We saw them fired for defending hydroxychloroquine. We saw them silenced and fired for defending and promoting ivermectin, therapeutics available for stopping people from getting really ill with the COVID flu. And everybody else has the options of the mRNA injections or the antivirus. Options. That's an interesting word. Joe Biden, and this is just particularly important, just remember, as Joe Biden announced his National Action Month to give away everything from beer to childcare to baseball tickets to Uber rides for people to choose the mRNA injections, or you have to not have a sticker at work, or you have to wear a mask on your beak for the rest of your career at work, right? So as he's speaking these words, he's behind a series of fences, militarized fences that exist solely for theater. Are we all tracking? Right? So if the free stuff they talked about wasn't enticing enough, Joe Biden suddenly told young folks that their social lives are at stake.
For young people who may think this doesn't affect you, listen up, please. This virus, even a mild case, can be with you for months. It will impact on your social life.
Indeed, if you are one of the population of people with comorbid conditions as a young person, a very, 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 very small segment of society, that's true. If you are 99% of kids, no, it's not true. Kids don't get sick from this in any measurable numbers, and they don't pass it on in measurable numbers. Not to mention the fact, Kamala Harris said, I'm not getting this. If Trump is saying it, I'm not getting it. She's not. Okay, well, this is the product of Project Warp Speed. And now we're to believe the mRNA changed in the bottles? when Biden was installed in the White House? Now, like any good salesman pushing a product on behalf of his bosses, Joe Biden repeats his rehearsed pitch.
You know, some people have questions about how quickly the vaccines were developed. They've been developed so quickly, they can't be that good. The bottom line is this, I promise you, they are safe. They are safe. If you're vaccinated, you are protected. If you are not vaccinated, you are not protected.
Let's just unwind this all together. True fact, most people, when they get the mRNA injections, are fine. The vast majority of people are fine. Might get a little sick. For some people, that's not true. The math changes for people under the age of 17. They literally bear more risk, a small risk, but more of it from getting the mRNA injections than getting the virus. But it's one size fits none, just like Obamacare. Just like that. So we asked in the first segment, what's the motive for the lies? And furthermore, he says here, like, you're safe. Well, is that why we're telling people who don't get the injections they must mask up because the people who did get the injections are not safe without the masks, which Fauci himself knows and has always known don't inhibit the transmission of upper respiratory viruses? Can anyone else see this as the lie of the decade? Now, just stack on top of this, again, the World Health Organization, oh, herd immunity, that's not a real thing. That's a theory. Oh, why was it that none of this stuff, even with the mystery of the origin of this virus, the mystery that a lot of us think was solved in an Epoch Times documentary? Incidentally, the Epoch Times was demonetized by YouTube for, among other things, the documentary that said, hey, this probably came from the Chinese lab. Here's why. They were demonetized by Google. My Facebook page was knocked down in reach because I shared that. Right? So despite all that mystery, the media didn't report on it. So maybe this is why. Here's the theory. Mark Thiessen is a former speechwriter for George W. Bush, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld. He was on Fox yesterday. He points to Trump derangement syndrome as one of the reasons this wasn't taken more seriously at the outset.
Look, there's one reason why this was dismissed as a conspiracy theory, is because the people who were arguing for it and making the case that we should investigate it were Donald Trump and supporters like Tom Cotton. And so if Donald Trump said it, then it has to be wrong. That's the Trump derangement syndrome. And the reality is now Trump is out of office, all of a sudden people are looking at it seriously. We should be demanding that Beijing prove that it didn't come from the lab, because the burden of proof should be on Beijing. They have the virus samples. They have blood samples from the three workers from the lab who were sickened in November 2019. Why won't they provide those? If those people didn't get sick from the pandemic strain of the virus, but some other strain that didn't break out, then they'd be proven wrong. Beijing could prove in 2 seconds that this didn't happen, but they're covering it up either because the evidence proves that it did come from the lab or because they've destroyed the evidence.
Got it? Trump derangement syndrome. But according to Alex Berenson, New York Times has yet to report on the Fauci emails. 17 seconds here coming from the Maha. Right?
The simple explanation, and sometimes the simple explanation is rejected precisely because it is so simple. Meaning, no, Rush, it's got to be more complicated than this. It really is simple. Sometimes the most simple explanation is the most difficult to believe.
Okay. Simple explanation. This probably came from the Wuhan lab, which Tony Fauci lied about funding for gain of function research. That's proven. He lied. Sometimes the simple explanation is the most potent. Jonathan Gruber lied when Barack Obama said 246 times or whatever, oh, look, if you like your plan, you can keep it unless you're 6 million people who we stole it from the first day. Tony Fauci lied. Well, everybody needs to wear a mask because we can't tell when someone's going to be giving someone the virus. There's no asymptomatic transmission is not a thing. Sometimes the simplest explanation is the most potent. So again, I ask, and perhaps people in the Mockingbird media who might like an opportunity to regain a little tiny shred of credibility might join me in asking, what was the motive for the lies? Maybe the Fouch will call in. Tony, why'd you lie? It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. What a day for discovery and news and observing who is and who is not a reporter. Just a heads up, if you're at a news organization and you are not covering the Fauci lies, then you may not work at a news organization. I'm just suggesting you might work at an organization doing something other than news, perhaps infotainment, like this. Yeah. Man, is this advantageous timing. We just played Rush, reminding us all of what Obamacare was, an attempt to control us completely, to fundamentally change America's way of life, founded upon the lie, if you like your plan, you can keep it. The architect of that, Johnny Gruber, bragging about lying to the American people because you don't want them to know what you're doing, because that way you can't steal their livelihoods, etc. And comparing that to the Fauci lies in regard to the response to SARS-CoV-2, which can lead to COVID-19. We just did that. Now we have Barack and Michelle Obama. You know that they were big-time movie producers, right? That during their time in the White House, they produced several series and documentaries, and some of them award-winning, which is why, of course, they got hired and retained to do programming for Netflix, was their robust, long history of filmmaking. No, that's not right. Because of their names and time in the White House. Well, I mean, in their defense, there are no black filmmakers aside from the Obamas. So they're the first. Oh, wait, there are black filmmakers, writers, producers who could have had these jobs at Netflix. But then again, not all black people are equally right for a job like that. I mean, those black producers and filmmakers, all they had is talent and hustle and honesty. Well, what's that compared to naming names, shaking hands, clout, baby? So they have a program now coming out that will teach kids about government. It's an animated Netflix series. Entertainment Weekly reports this. So we all know this is going to be a woke 21st century version of Schoolhouse Rock. We all know that Obama's doing it to help indoctrinate the kids into the 21st century new China model of corporate communism. He's enlisted a number of pop music performers to help him with the message. Here's a portion of the trailer for the series.
Pay attention so I know my rights. Education's gonna change the cycle.
I am an American citizen. This ain't just the place I'm living in. I got rights like elected president.
Okay, now let me start to tell y'all all about taxes. How much do you pay? Well, that depends on your bracket.
The people hold the power and together get a little bit stronger.
There's a proud history, I think, in the world of bringing kids into the revolution. It's always been a shining example. Anytime you're starting to indoctrinate the kids that way, it's always turned out really, really well. Like when you use critical race theory, which we're going to talk about next hour, including some of Rush's commentary on this, which is outstanding as always, but in this case, even more so. You take the kids, put them into the revolution, and then teach them to hate a specific race of people. That's a stellar history on Earth. It's never ended poorly. Well, I mean, those few times where it led to genocidal behaviors. But let's not quibble. So that's a trailer from the Obama's indoctrination, pardon me, entertainment special, teaching kids about government. And here's what the Maha said about it when Netflix announced it was partnering with Obama in 2018.
Former President Barack Obama is in advanced negotiations with Netflix to produce a series of high-profile shows that will provide him a global platform after his departure from the White House, according to people familiar with global platform. Obama needs a global platform. How did Obama go from the global platform to not having it? And why can't Obama just go to the UN? Oh, I remember they told us that the UN isn't big enough for Obama. Do you remember? Yes, the Democrats, the media were telling us that actually the presidency was not challenging enough for Obama, that he needed something more. That running America, yeah, great thing, but it didn't basically change. I mean, Obama could do that in 10 minutes a day. It was so easy. United Nations might be a little bit bigger challenge, but even that is beneath the real talents of Barack Obama. They told us all of this. But Obama, not on the global stage, is going to go back to Netflix or Apple. Under terms of a proposed deal, which is not yet final, Netflix would pay Obama and his wife for exclusive content that'd be available only on Netflix. A number of episodes and the formats for the shows have not been decided, because they haven't the slightest idea yet. Although it says here, Mr. Obama does not intend to use his Netflix shows to directly respond to Trump or conservative critics, according to people familiar with discussions about the programming. They said the Obamas had talked about producing shows that highlight inspirational stories. Oh, if only Maya Angelou were still here. Hey, yeah, let's go pop some popcorn and let's tune into Obama's voting rights series starting Friday night. Immigration, foreign policy, and, of course, the old standby climate change. Issues that have continued to divide a polarized American electorate. Another program could feature Mrs. Obama on topics of her expertise, like nutrition and gardening, like she did in the White House, like the school lunch program that drove kids to leave school to go grab something to eat, because they hated it so much. It's unclear how much money the Obamas will be paid, given their lack of experience in the media business. But it could be really, really big. But then, folks, if you read past all of that, and you get down to the end of the story, let me read a little paragraph. Obama has seethed, meaning he's really ticked off, folks. Obama has seethed privately and publicly about what he says is the manipulation of news by conservative outlets and the fractured delivery of information in the internet age. That's the nub of it right there. Obama is tired and fed up of the truth being told about his legacy and his presidency by me. Conservative outlets? What do you mean, conservative outlets? We know what he's talking about here. We're living rent-free in the guy's head. He still, even after being out of office for a year and a half, can't get over it. Just like Bill Clinton before him. Just like Hillary Clinton before her and after her. It's amazing. Obama's legacy's not surviving. It's crumbling. It's falling apart. He's got to do something to put it back together because conservative outlets are telling the truth about it.
Yes, and the truth about Fauci's lies, right? And even I don't know if this show comes through on Obama phones. It may not. And if you have an Obama phone, you have to pay the bill anyway. Those of us who pay our own bills, we know the big cell phone companies aren't exactly clear on how they calculate their monthly invoices they send to you, particularly if data usage is involved. But when you switch to Pure Talk, you can count on a flat $30 per month charge, unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data. When Rush discovered Pure Talk last year, he detailed it for all of us. It went like this.
You shop for the best price you can find on insurance, on home mortgages, on vacation travel, maybe even cheeseburgers. I don't know. So why not do the same thing with cellular phone service? Your cell phone number is your own, and who you choose for cellular service is all up to you. One company makes such a compelling offer, it's worth thinking about. It's Pure Talk. They offer you unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And guess what? If you go over on the data, they don't charge you for it. Pure Talk. Compare that monthly price, $30 a month, to your current cell phone bill, and you'll see why it makes sense to change.
Now, I don't know what your cell phone bill is, but I would wager you that it's $60 or more, maybe 120, maybe 75 or more. This outfit, Pure Talk, is offering you unlimited talk, unlimited text, and 6 gigs of data for $30 a month. Now, Pure Talk knows they're in the same business with the likes of AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile. In fact, get this, they use the same cell towers of one of the big companies that covers 99% of the country. They offer superior service. 100% of the Pure Talk customer support team is right here in America. So you make one phone call to them today, you can start to save money by switching to Pure Talk. All you do is get your cell phone and dial #250. Next, you say Pure Talk. It's that simple. You'll save 50% off your first month. That's #250, and then say Pure Talk. One of the Pure Talk customer service people will be right there on the phone to help you. And by the way, it's legit. $30 a month, unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data.
It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. And I like to think that Rush, think of him in heaven now with God and experiencing the greatest of all things and leaving the temporal world behind. But I'm also very tempted to think of him up there going, I told him. I tried to tell everybody. He told more people than anyone else has ever been told. And speaking of that, Bo Snerdly is hosting a podcast series out now. It's Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. And you likely know that already. It's a look behind the scenes at how Rush made all this happen. Bo, or James Golden, talks with Rush's brother David in the latest episode of this series. David had a lot of insight, including how important the bond between you and I, the listener, and Rush himself was and what that meant to Rush. Take a listen.
He considered his audience intimate, and he would tell them his deepest, innermost thoughts. And I don't know about you, I think that is so cool. And I think that's one of the things that has made him uniquely popular among his audience, that developed a bond. And since he's died, I have received thousands of communications, emails, Twitter messages, Facebook, personal letters from unbelievable numbers of people who do say, I loved him. I feel a personal void. He was the best friend I never met. Now, this sounds like a cliche unless you read. They're not just saying, oh, I loved your brother passively. No, they're saying, I feel wounded. I feel a hole in my heart that he died.
I'll just say this. I've corresponded briefly with David. He's just a dear gentleman, loved his brother so much. And you can hear that entire conversation with James and David Limbaugh on this podcast, The Man Behind the Golden EIB Microphone. Find the link at rushlimbaugh.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Hey, look at this. Seattle, Washington. Dirk, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host this week. Welcome, Dirk. I'm glad you called. What's on your mind, sir?
Todd, thank you for having me. My comment here is on the latest Fauci flip-flop on the masking. As you recall, in the early days, he gave some very good advice about the limitations of masks and why it isn't advised for the general public, given the types of masks that the public would be using. Now, if you recall, after the reversal was made and then he started advocating people to wear masks, if you recall, the reasoning he gave for that was that he specifically wanted to reserve the masks for the healthcare workers. Now, that's an honorable reasoning for lying, but still, he acknowledged that he lied. But now you'll notice there's a distinct shift, and that the latest reasoning now that everybody is talking about for that reversal is that he basically just says the science changed and that we realized the masks did help. What it looks like is that they're shopping for the most acceptable reasoning for the reversal. In other words, They didn't really like having to admit that they lied. Go ahead.
No, I'll just say this, you know, Dirk, I will offer a $5,000 bet to Tony Fauci. I will debate Fauci anywhere, anytime about masks. I will use only his own CDC's data and words, and I will destroy him. There's nothing that's changed in the makeup of the viral particles. They are 1/10 of 1 micron. The opening in an N95 mask are 3/10 of 1 micron. The argument that it's the droplets it catches, okay, fine. A droplet bounces against the N95 mask. The water soaks into the mask. The droplet makes it into your beak. I've talked to experts who say, in fact, the viral particles, if they're on the outside of the mask, are then blowing up into the air. In fact, I can show you a study that shows that this actually aerosolizes the viral particles to send them further out. Normally, they would go 6 feet and drop. Because of the makeup of the mask, it actually spreads the virus particles out further. We can go side-by-side analysis. Go to rational-ground, rationalground.com. They've done side-by-side analyses of every single mask, no mask, country, city, state, county, side-by-side analysis. And another smoking gun from these emails is Fauci was aware of a May 2020 study released by the CDC, which was based on, I think, 6 or maybe 8 randomized peer-reviewed clinical trials of known confirmed, lab-confirmed influenza. The masks in all these settings did absolutely nothing to inhibit the transmission of the viruses. Fauci knew, he knows, he's always known. Appreciate the call, Dirk from Seattle. Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. Perhaps the least respected, most underrated Beatles cut of all time, Hey Bulldog. So next hour, we're going to talk about critical race theory, which is just an extension on critical theory, which is just an extension on be critical of anything that supports Western democracies, particularly American democracies, the Republican form of democracy, as it were, of course. You'll also hear from a father who happens to be a black man, who spoke out against critical race theory, as do a lot of black people. Funny thing about that bit of audio is that I was talking to some people on Team EIB earlier, and this is one of those instances where there was the audio, and then the audio was gone. We live in an era that happens. We've had to chase audio down multiple times on my show. So I'm willing to bet big money that America's Anchorman did more for black lives than anyone pushing critical race theory. Next hour, Rush explains how and why fighting evil like CRT was part of his life's mission.
We provide answers each and every day. It's very simple. Defeat liberalism. Inspire people. Let them know that they're far better than they think they are. They can do more than they think they can. They are more capable than they even know. With the proper motivation and inspiration and with people around them with high expectations, you know, stop talking to them about how they have no future in a rotten country, but instead tell them how great this country is and how much opportunity is out there.
Exactly. So we will combine Rush's enduring wisdom with the news about CRT and a proud, good father standing up against it. Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. It's always an honor to be with you. Always has been, always will be. Thank you so very much to Team EIB and everybody behind the scenes for letting a rodeo clown like me hang out with you on this day, the day the Lord has made, these times in which God has decided we'll live. The phone number is 800-282-2882. You know, God, I think, is pro-freedom. You know what else he is? I think he's proud of his work. I think God likes us to admire his work. I think he's set it up in a way that our planet's in this just perfect position to observe the universe. We happen to be the only planet that can see the entire Milky Way universe. I think he likes us to observe his work. I think he signs his work. I think the signatures in the DNA or signature in the cell, you might say, after a famous book, great book. I think God likes us to admire the work that we create as sort of our only ways to ever really imitate God. It's our children. We love them in the ways that he loves us. I think he likes that. You know what else he likes? I think he likes races of people. I think he does. I think that God wanted an entire series of people that we've decided to think of in terms of race. I don't know that God thinks of it that way. Perhaps he thinks of it as differences in the bouquet of flowers, beautiful in their own way, flawed in our own ways, all of us with unique flaws. Sometimes there's societal flaws, cultural flaws. That comes about because of individual preferences, etc., environment, all these things. So I think God really likes humanity. And he gives us a choice to choose him or not. And then there's critical race theory. Takes everything I just described and turns it upside down. Almost against all that, you might say. That there is one race of people who are responsible for all ills, even if they've never done anything wrong. It's an interesting hat trick, ain't it, though? It's almost like In fact, it's exactly like. There is original sin. And the sin is being white. Right? Almost like that. And the more you study critical race theory, the more you understand it's just critical theory, just expanded. Critical of the West, critical of freedom, critical of voluntary exchanges of goods and services. And critical race theory, of course, also critical of things like the nuclear family. And an extension now, critical of being on time. No, I'm not kidding you. Being on time is a racist construct. Chaos is what critical race theory seeks, chaos and hatred. And it's happening in schools. It's happening in kindergarten. Little kids in separate countries like Washington State and Oregon and New York and California, and I've heard it specifically in Seattle, little kindergarten kids starting their day off with the teacher saying, okay, it's time for our acknowledgement of stolen land. At our school, we are on stolen land. Yeah. And you didn't steal it, and your grandparents didn't, but for the white students, we stole it. And that does what to kids? Convinces them that they are not sinners, but thieves. And the only way to ever make up for that is to call other people thieves. Critical race theory in our schools. And there are parents standing up against it. We've got to make these people live in the world they're creating for others. We've got to be able to teach our kids the nonsense that critical race theory is. We've got to be able to speak out against it. My tactic is this. If I'm in a school meeting with a school board member or a teacher, I'm going to say, you're white. I will not talk to you until everyone in this room is black. Sorry, it's racism. You need to resign. That's going to be my tactic. My other tactic is this. What percentage white am I? No, I'm going to ask. No, wait. You're saying white privilege, etc. So what percentage white am I? Do you know? Because if I'm 51% not white, well, I'm out. I can't be racist. It's this sort of nonsense that we must confront in our society. So it is good to see parents standing up. GOP lawmakers are trying to knock this stuff out of the schools, which the media is presenting as GOP seeks to limit discussions on race and racism. Critical race theory limits discussion on race and racism because critical race theory says only white people are racist unless you're white adjacent Asian, which is a whole nother topic. So I'm glad to see parents standing up. Fred Reggie, a Loudoun County, Virginia parent, also happens to be black, explained why he's opposed to CRT.
The idea that if I'm an African-American young male, these things have been done to my ancestors and to me, and it's here to stay. It's ingrained in the fiber of our country. And that ingrained part means that it can't be done away with, which is an excuse for failure. And it's a very dangerous ideology. And for the white kids, it's, you know, what did I do wrong? And am I responsible for this? You know, and that guilt, it's a very destructive theory.
It is. And Reggie is one of a growing number of parents who've banded together to support Fight for Schools, which is a political action committee opposed to critical race theory. And the group is spearheaded by Ian Pryor, former Trump administration DOJ official and a father of two children in Loudoun County Public Schools. Now, none of this has helped when Joe Biden, who actually manages to speak a complete sentence, but in so doing, supremacy is the biggest threat to the United States.
As I said in my address to the joint session of Congress, according to the intelligence community, terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Not ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, white supremacists.
Yes, I do remember that all those cities burned and cops killed at the hands of White Lives Matter, that domestic terror group. It was horrifying. You had White Lives Matter out chanting, what do we want? Dead cops, when do we want it now? Horrifying. Oh, no, sorry. Dang it. Like I said, I'm just a rodeo clown just trying to do my best to host the radio show. That was Black Lives Matter Incorporated, a group that doesn't care the least about black lives. Now, just to be fair, right, Biden may well think it's true what he read or said. Because in Biden's defense, he may think white supremacy is everywhere because he himself is apparently a white supremacist. Or maybe just as dementia is, because Joe Biden believes black people are incapable of hiring accountants.
Instead of denying millions of entrepreneurs the ability to access capital and contracting, made it possible to take their dreams to the marketplace to create jobs and invest in our communities. That, the data shows young black entrepreneurs are just as capable of succeeding given the chance as white entrepreneurs are. But they don't have lawyers, they don't have accountants, but they have great ideas.
Well, how can they get lawyers and accountants when black people can't figure out how to get an ID or use a computer? Both things that Biden has said. Remember that video? Did you ever see this video this black gentleman made? Biden's dementia was talking about how black people can't get online to register to vote, and it's very complicated, and they don't know how to use it. And this guy made this incredible video where he came out shirtless, and he found a PC, and he was batting it around, like, and making fun of Biden. Such a brilliant video. I got to find that. So yesterday on this program, we reminded ourselves of a famous Rush axiom. When Democrats go after Republicans, it's not the quality of the evidence, it's the seriousness of the charge. Today, another Rushism applicable to this. For leftists, only their good intentions count.
1964 to the present has been almost all a march toward socialism. With people running the government, all of these good intentions, all of this compassion, all of this love and devotion for the minorities, the discriminated against, whoever it is that's been getting the short end of the stick, all of these people turn to government to have these grievances addressed, and they're madder than they've ever been. They're unhappier than they've ever been. And there have been some legitimate things that have made progress. Civil rights has made progress in this country. You wouldn't know it if you looked at people today, but it's much better in that regard than it has been. But aside from all that, why isn't there all this happiness? Why don't all these good intentions matter? The bottom line is liberalism doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. It's an on display in front of our face failure. And the only excuse, well, at least we're trying. We love people. We're compassionate. We're trying to do something. Our intentions with the Great Society were to wipe out poverty. Our intentions with the war on poverty, wipe out poverty. Well, you failed. Well, yeah, but we're not supposed to look at that because my intentions are what count. But I think it's very plain as day. It's one of the sources of my frustration because none of this is theoretical anymore. We don't have to rely on theory to tell people this doesn't work. We've been living it since 1964. Actually, prior to that, I just chose 64 as the beginning time frame because that's Johnson's Great Society. But it actually began long before that. FDR. Doesn't matter how far you go back. It doesn't work. It never has. And we have the living proof right on our TV sets every day. I'm going to tell you something. The Great Society has led to an ungrateful society, if you ask me. And it has led to an unmanageable society. All of these good intentions. And all they did was literally steal people's identity and dignity and self-worth. I don't think that is even arguable. And that's one of the reasons why there's so much anger and dissatisfaction.
Everybody got it? The comparison? Led to an ungrateful society, Rush said. If you ask me, it's led to an unmanageable society. All these good intentions, all they did was literally steal people's identity, dignity, and self-worth. So do we believe critical race theory is well-intended? Do we believe defunding the cops is well-intended? Let's explore what Rush might have said that the liberals would call unexpected outcomes or consequences, except anyone who's thinking clearly should have expected this. Kids, little kids, shooting at cops. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. Just a reminder that RushLimbaugh.com, like, I think today has just been the perfect reminder of why it's a must-have Rush 24/7. And it's all the team just reaching back and finding these clips that just so apply to today. And we've done that as we've done the program this way. I just feel like today has really just really magnified that to such a degree. We don't know if these kids are black or white. And normally, I just don't care. I know that makes me a racist because to not really be deeply invested in one race or another makes you a racist in the vernacular of the left and critical race theory. The reason I ask that is a 12-year-old boy and a 14-year-old girl broke into a home, found weapons, and opened fire on deputies. And there's some body cam that's from CNN and The Independent. This is the body cam video reveals the children opening fire on the police with stolen guns, including an AK-47. And I understand that they learned to shoot these with, you know, video games. Now, the reason I asked if they are black children, it's not because I assume that. It's because black kids are taught that cops wake up in the morning and say, hey, let's go kill some black kids today. Can you imagine the trauma that would inflict upon you as a young person? Can you imagine the anger you would feel as a parent if you believed that was going on? Or as a citizen, as a fellow human being? What was it? There was a poll done where a great number of Democrats believe 10,000 unarmed black people are killed every year by cops. The number is about 17. Unarmed, not always meaning undangerous. In fact, often not meaning that. Same sort of people who believed that at one point, the average Democrat believed that 1.3 million people had died, like in the United States, like a year ago. And they thought it was going to be 10% of people dying overall, 30 million people they thought would die from the COVID flu. That's just the media's, the Mockingbird media just amplify, repeat and amplify the words of statist leftists and the Mockingbirds without a hint of skepticism. So the sheriff in this case, it's a Volusia County, Florida, shot a 14-year-old girl Tuesday night after she and the 12-year-old boy broke into this home, found multiple guns, opened fire on them. And the sheriff said he's never seen anything like this in his 30-plus years in law enforcement, and that the shootout with the kids put his officers' lives on the line with nowhere to hide but the trees.
Where have we gone wrong that 12-year-old and 14-year-old think it's okay to take on law enforcement? What the hell is the Department of Juvenile Justice doing sending these kids to places that can't handle them? Deputies did everything they could tonight to de-escalate, and they almost lost their lives to a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Well, the kids are being taught that cops are literal Nazis, and that anytime you see a cop, you are literally about to be murdered, and that all cops are B-words. And that's the Democrat Party. That's Black Lives Matter Incorporated. But Joe Biden, behind his militarized fence in Washington, D.C., put there for theatrical reasons only, says it's the white supremacists that are the biggest threat to the country. So it's sort of a weird thing when your government lies as course of nature or so often. And government and lies would lead me to think of China. And here we have Daniel in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Daniel, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week. I'm so glad you called. Welcome, Daniel.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I think, and I've been thinking this for a while, that we are at war with China. We just don't know it. Between cyber warfare and germ warfare, diseases, not just the U.S., but the rest of the world. Who knows what China's doing to other countries, but you know, they're not sending troops to invade because we would know that. But subtly, you know, buying up corporate secrets, buying up corporations, buying politicians, they own the NBA. John Cena, warrior princess, having to apologize for calling Taiwan a country.
Right. I don't know. I don't disagree with you a bit. Yeah. It's axiomatic of the left to not want to admit there's a war going on. And I want us to think strategically about some things. President Trump wanted to make us energy independent. What does one need in order to power weapons and to move troops? Well, energy. Biden is canceling our energy independence while giving it to Russia. President Trump wanted to move us away from reliance upon China. And Joe Biden's doing everything necessary to put us back into reliance upon China. Do we understand that with China producing the bulk of the antidepressant, anti-anxiety drugs, which have now exploded in use in the country, anytime they wanted to, they could say, hey, we're going to stop making that for you. And you'd have a whole bunch of people breaking down because those drugs can be as addictive for some people as heroin. We are in a world of concern. And adults would look at this and say, hey, maybe it's a good idea not to get married to the Chinese Communist Party. Other people would say, hey, let's just be just like the Chinese Communist Party. And I'll leave it for others to decide which direction the left in this country is taking us. Thank you for the phone call from beautiful Albuquerque, Danny. Appreciate it. Tim in San Luis Obispo, California. You are on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host. Welcome, Tim. Hi.
Hello. Hey, I'm interested in a possible argument for against the critical race theory. If you can't determine a person's gender, how can you determine a person's race?
See, here's the challenge you have. And I don't mean this to pander to you. I want you to really understand this. Logic is a bother to postmodernists because what you said is eminently logical. Eminently. And one of the things they're doing is destroying logic. They're beating logic to death, right? And they're doing that by just continuing to drill into people's minds. I was just talking to someone on Team EIB earlier. There's a case in London where a woman was raped, went to court to prosecute her rapist, and was forced by the court to pretend her rapist was a woman. Mind-breaking stuff. So we who dwell in logic, Tim, are confronted with people for whom logic is the enemy. Does that make sense, that logic to them is the enemy?
Well, if it's a matter of your idea of yourself as to whether your sex is right. A, B, or C, or D, or whether your race is A, B, C, or D, then you choose your race. You don't have somebody else choose it for you.
No, and again, and my friend, you and I agree firmly on this logic. And what people need to realize is, look, the mayor of Realville would tell us, like, let's dwell in reality. Let's dwell in this reality. The left and the people pushing critical race theory and transgender ideology and we're going to control your body for you, they find logic to be a bother and they want people to stop insisting upon it. Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. So we're just talking with Tim from San Luis Obispo, California. Such a beautiful place. And I'd made the remark that to postmodernists, that would be your World Economic Forum people, that would be your Faucis, your Gateses, etc., the elites, in other words, that logic, when practiced by us, is a problem. Note the condemnation of whataboutisms. Well, you don't get to say what about. And note the destruction of just plain, simple logic. Here's the plain, simple logic. Do you have a border if you don't enforce it? No, you do not have a border if you do not enforce it. Do we have the vice president, so-called Kamala Harris, who has apparently, remember when she was assigned, going to deal with the border crisis? Has she been to the border? No, she has not. Is she dealing with the crisis? No, she is not. You have Yahoo News reporting drug cartels are attacking enemies and spreading terror with weaponized drones in the United States and Mexico. We have the children abandoned at the border. Simple logic is incentivizing people to sneak into the United States of America, good for them and good for us. No. Are we incapable of enforcing a border? We can't. We, the most technically advanced nation in history, we just can't figure out how to enforce our border. Just dang it, we can't figure it out. None of it is logical. It's not meant to be logical. They don't want us to think in terms of logic because they prefer to do our thinking for us. Here's another bit of another way to look at this. When you inject poison into a body, it creates disorder, which we call disease. When you purposely inject crime into a society, you're inducing a societal disease that harms everyone. As Rush pointed out, the Democrat Party imports crime at the southern border.
The Democrat Party needs to be properly positioned and explained here. They are standing in favor of the import of crime. They are standing in favor. They're standing aside and saying it isn't any big deal that murderers and rapists and drug dealers are being allowed into the country. They're saying that's not a big deal today. They don't think it's worth trying to stop. In other words, the Democrat Party needs to be portrayed and positioned as people who are perfectly fine with a distinct and unique American culture and our society becoming corrupted and perverted. The truth needs to be said about what the Democrats are doing. If they're going to sit there and act like it isn't any big deal that illegal aliens routinely come in and commit murder, I'll tell you this. All the people that have been maimed and injured and killed by illegal aliens would today more than likely be unharmed if those illegals had not made it across the border. And there's no other way. You cannot argue that. The only way you could argue that, well, Rush, that's not true, because the crime and the commission of crime by Americans is far greater per capita than among illegals. Well, no, you can't say that just because some illegals would not have committed the crime if we hadn't been allowed to enter that others would have. And Kate Steinle would still be dead, in other words, or some of these other people have been wantonly murdered, they would still be murdered even if we had closed the border and not allowed these thugs to enter. That's basically what this situation's position the Democrats have eagerly plotted for themselves. They seem perfectly happy to own this political position that nothing bad is happening because of open borders and that we need more of it, and that they're not concerned with the crime or the cultural rot and destruction that's taking place. They aren't concerned about the rule of law being violated every time somebody is invited to cross the border with impunity. That's the position they've staked out. And why? Not because they don't want to spend money. It's because they hate Trump. We're watching Trump derangement syndrome literally do in and inflict unnecessary damage to people in this country. Things that are happening that would not be happening if we were simply obeying our own law and enforcing current immigration law. Meanwhile, look at the pain and suffering being visited on innocent people by way of illegal, alien, immigrant thugs, and you don't hear any compassion for those people from the Democrats.
So we talked about logic. The Maha, eminently logical. Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, eminently logical. Calling this an emergency, declaring it an emergency at his border. Compare and contrast he, an actual governor, to Gavin Newsom, who has beautiful hair and is related, as I understand it, to Nancy Pelosi. He has said, we'll release all the felons. We will not allow ICE or DHS in our state to enter our courtrooms to deport dangerous criminal illegals, not just people who snuck into the country, but people who committed subsequent crimes. Think of the so-called Governor Jay Inslee, or as we lovingly call the Attorney General of Washington State. He's known everywhere as Sideshow Bob. Look at what they do. They coddle the cartels to such a degree that now even the local media in Seattle has to report the fact that the cartels are taking over entire parts of the city. Right? And you can copy and place that into Minneapolis and Baltimore and New York. And it's logic that's the problem for them. Because we would logically say, just question, shouldn't we deport murderer cartel leaders? And they would say, that's racism. But there's Russian cartels. Black Russians did. You see what I'm saying? That logic just, it's something they can't allow. Right? It's like, look at them with the deficit. We can keep spending money. We can keep inventing money. Right? I mean, I look at something as simple as our cell phone bills. You know, for a lot of us, using our cell phones more than 2 hours a day is not unusual. between your calls, text messages, and internet activity, whatever you might be doing, you're relying on a phone, great deal. Pure Talk makes sure that doesn't turn into an expensive proposition. $30 is their monthly fee for unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data. And if you go over on your data usage, Pure Talk doesn't charge you more. Some families are saving as much as $800 a year. Rush spells it all out.
Hey, folks, you know, you can spend all kinds of time deliberating what kind of cell phone you want to own, what kind of cell phone you want to use, but you might spend 10% of that time deciding on your cell phone carrier, if that much. Now, maybe you spend more than 10%, but really, there are options out there you may not know about. Cell phone service has become expensive. You know, I remember back in the days of flip phones. This is before 2007, before the iPhone was invented. The theory was that your service was going to be given to you as long as you paid for the phone. That's the way the experts thought the trend line was, that service is going to be pretty much free, but you got to pay for the phone. Now that's turned upside down. Now the phone costs a pretty penny, as does service. Cell phone service has become expensive. The big brand name carriers charge a lot because, well, they can. So there's another company out there that we want to suggest you look into called Pure Talk, because their focus is on providing you the best cell phone coverage and service for about half the price of the big brand names in cellular service. Pure Talk gives you excellent coverage. It uses the same cell towers as one of the biggest brands. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 6 gigs of data for about $30 a month. It's on the same tower that you're probably using now, same towers. And if you go over on your data usage, Pure Talk is not going to charge you for it. Switch to Pure Talk. Keep your phone number just as it is. Pure Talk will help you make that an easy switch. From your cell phone, just dial #250 and then say Pure Talk. #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month. That is #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Something to look into.
It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. Logic becomes sort of a theme of this hour, and the bothersome nature of logic to people who want to restructure society, such as this. Watching white people say, we need to do more to fight systemic racism as they sit in a board seat or they run a school board or they run a school. And it's super simple. Like, can systems be racist? Well, what are systems? They are techniques employed by human beings. Human beings leave, no system. No, it has to be the human beings that are racist. Therefore, anyone who is white, who says it's systemic racism, you are the system. So in 2 seconds, you can solve it by resigning and having a person of color, as the left would call people, come and take that position over, right? But see, the logic, it doesn't apply, because it's not about logic. It's about violence to the mind. It's gaslighting people into it. Really, it's to gaslight people into shutting up. Like, man, I don't get this. I don't get the rules of the game, so I shouldn't speak up because I'm going to look like a fool. It's like an Alice in Wonderland thing. Like, you don't understand the rules of the game, it might be off with your head. Metaphorically, for now. All right, that's critical race theory. Let's talk to David on the road in Alabama. David, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host this week. David, I'm so glad you called. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Todd. And Southern Hospitality, dittos to you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, one quick point. Logic cannot work in the left's platform because logic requires, you know, absolutism and moving ahead. You have to have emotion in everything they do because you have to be made guilty or made to feel shame. So, you know, logic will never work in that. But the whole idea of critical race theory, the whole platform is just another example of the progressive, or I guess really regressive, idea of victim, make you a victim. You know, it's you have to be a victim to get by in their world. And if you're not a victim, you don't understand, you know, the plight. So, you know, that's the whole platform behind it.
Yeah, that's well said. It's perfectly well said. And you did that while driving through Alabama.
I'm in Vestavia Hills. And I guess the screener couldn't pronounce Vestavia Hills, or he didn't know how to spell it right. So the land of beautiful homes here.
All right. Well, you just said it well. Appreciate the call, David, and God go with you. Appreciate it very much. Let's talk to William in Greensboro, North Carolina. William, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host. Glad you called, William. Hi.
Hey, Todd. Nice to meet you, man. First time calling, man. I'm not a big Rush Limbaugh fan, but, I kind of miss him, I guess, man.
Cool.
But, yeah, my comment was this, man. Okay, like, you know, you were saying about Joe Biden. He was saying that white supremacy was the main threat to American society. And as a black person, I tend to agree with that. And here's why. Because I'm not a Black Lives Matter dude. I don't care about that. And you know, most of these guys that get shot by police, chances are they did something real stupid, you know. And I'm not with this woke thing. You know, I'm not into going back into the past and trying to figure out whose land it is and all that. But my thing is this, man, all this stuff right here, that the woke and Black Lives Matter, it's a reaction to what was happening on the far right and over the course of time throughout history in American society. This is the reaction. These people would not have a justifiable platform if it was not for, you know, racism in the past. Now, how it functions today, it's not with these dudes getting shot in the streets and lack of education and all that. It's in the workplace. That's where the functioning racism is today, in the workplace, where I'm going to give you a quick example. I know I don't have much time because I know you're going to chew my ear off, so I'm going to make sure I tighten this up. Okay, if I'm a manager and a white person walks in and they see I'm black, I'm a manager in a store, it's almost like by default, and I've experienced this in the retail world, it's almost like by default, whatever that gripe is, that complaint is, that issue is, it's going to escalate immediately. Like, I want to talk to your manager. I want your name. When a white person walks out, it's like, oh, okay, sir, we'll take care of that for you. And that's just a small illustration, but it's in the workplace where we have the most trouble. And I think all of this is a reaction to that.
Well, I think, you know, look, I'm not going to, for 2 seconds, argue with what you've experienced in your life, William. I know that, you know, there are inherent flaws in people, and I was not in the head of the person with whom you interacted or in those cases, and I don't doubt that you had those feelings, and you may have been right in those cases, and in some cases, I'm sure you were right. I would just offer you this, my friend, and that is this. The platform of Black Lives Matter Incorporated, and you were saying is a response to. Okay, I accept your analysis of that. I can disagree, and I accept it. But I would just ask you this. How does dissolving the nuclear family, how does that help the workplace situation for black people by dissolving the nuclear family?
No, that doesn't at all, man. You know, and I'm sure, you know, most of it is misguided, you know.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, man, it's sad because 9 times out of 10, man, and I've sat down with a lot of my friends, man. Like, you know, we discussed this. It's like usually when these dudes are out here rioting, they don't even know what the issue is, really. You know, I mean, not
you're
thoroughly.
So right.
You know,
you're
they
so
just,
right.
They just want a free TV.
Yeah. You know, no, gosh, I wish we had more time. I really was not going to chew your head off. I'd like to talk to you more. I wish you'd have more time. I just have the clock here to come in. William, that was a great phone call. Thank you for sharing us with how you feel and the way you approached it. Appreciate it. God go with you. William from Greensboro, North Carolina. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. It's an amazing thing to behold the tools with which the party pushes to divide Americans. And the tools become more and more harmful and bizarre as they become more and more personal. And people are losing their jobs for not agreeing to say a simple thing, very simple. And that is that a man is a woman. People are understandably afraid to say that because they understand that there are people who are deeply hurt by how they feel about their bodies. And people also deeply don't care how adults choose to express themselves, what they choose to wear. People truly don't care, and people don't want to hurt people. It's just most people don't enjoy hurting others. The left and the party is quite aware of these aspects of our psychology. Next hour, we'll talk about people who have lost their jobs because they will not say a man is a woman. We'll talk about Ron DeSantis and what he's done to say that biological boys and men don't get to compete against women, and how the media will twist this, and how the left has invented a word for a condition that's existed forever, but they've invented a new word, and it's a magical word. We'll talk about that next as we continue. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. What an amazing honor it's been to be with you all of these times. I so appreciate it. And everybody at Team EIB who has allowed me to do this, Rush himself, God rest him, all of that. Another day with you at 800-282-2882. Another day the Lord has made for us as a gift for us, opportunity for us to rejoice, even as we live in some strange times, times such as these. So on the first day of Pride Month, NPR notes. On the first day of Pride Month, Florida signed a transgender athlete bill into law. And Fox says, liberal media blast DeSantis transgender athlete bill. This is disgusting. Let's break this apart together. The word transgender is invented, and it comes from the word that used to mean something. Transsexual used to mean something. In fact, it still does. It means that that is someone who has gone through either a surgical or hormonal process and or to appear to be the opposite sex. And I'm in my 50s. As long as I've lived until the past 8-10 years, no one cared. No one. Like, yes, there was sometimes people were cruel to others to mock them or make fun of them. And people mock fat people and they mock radio hosts. So I know that existed. But we also know that people didn't really care because adults will be adults. That shifted in the past 10 years to this word transgender, which literally means nothing. How can I tell you it means nothing? Because I could right now tell you I have decided I'm a woman. And in transgender ideology, I become a woman, just a woman, because the repeating chant in the world of the sexual left and the party is that trans women are women. And this has reached a point of such a bizarre level that I have personally spoken with women who are gay women, lesbians, who have been pressured into sleeping with men. Because members of their community of gay women have said, hey, we can't discriminate. You can't have a genital-based bigotry. Genital preference is bigotry. In other words, gay women must sleep with men. Now, see, this word, transgender, is a magical word. And the liberal media knows this. The Mockingbird media knows this. Right? And this is evident. And the Daily Caller calls out USA Today for removing the word male from a female athlete's op-ed on biological males in girls' sports, calling the term hurtful. It is now hurtful to tell the truth. Now, see, you can't write a sensical editorial against boys competing against girls if you can't say boy. Which is why this is a magical word. So at the College of William & Mary, Chelsea Miller, she's a collegiate runner at the College of William & Mary, wrote the op-ed about how she lost several high school state titles and awards to biological males in her home state of Connecticut. I'm running in the state championship. I'm ranked the fastest high school female in the 55-meter dash in the state. I should be feeling confident. Instead, all I can think about is all my training, everything I've done to maximize performance might not be enough simply because there's a transgender runner on the line with an enormous physical advantage. Now, when you hear transgender, you and I understand that means a boy. Except victims of NPR and the Mockingbird media actually think that this is a physical thing. They confuse this with intersex because they're caused to confuse it this way. They actually think it's a physical thing. They think there are people born with brains in the wrong body, which is not possible. And I could go through all of the biological reasons for this, et cetera, and all the innate biological advantages, which do not depart when one goes on hormonal therapy. So a consequence now, we have a man who's going to be an Olympic weightlifter who was a nobody in male weightlifting. It's all about owning the language, right? You own the language, you own the war. If you invent the game and all the rules, you're always going to win. Rush knew when you own the language, you control the debate. He knew that the left was absolutely obsessed with forcing people to pretend men or women, teaching that to kids. Here, Rush talks about a man who lost his job for refusing to lie about this.
A columnist at the Denver Post says that he has been fired after disputing the idea that there are more than two sexes. John Caldara is his name. He's president of the Libertarian Independence Institute and a columnist for the Denver Post. He said that he's been fired from the Post, and he chalked it up to a difference in style that his editors found too insensitive. He's a journalist, and he's been canned. Here's what he said in his statement. My column is not a soft-voiced, sticky, sweet, NPR-styled piece, which employs the language now mandated by the victim-centric, identity politics-driven media. So this guy, Caldara, he wrote a column in which he criticized a directive in the Associated Press style book, which says that sex and gender are not binary. He said there are only two sexes. I'm sorry, they're identified by an XX or XY chromosome. That's the very definition of binary. There are two of them. He says the AP ruling that it isn't so doesn't change science. It's a premeditative attempt to change culture and policy. It's activism. He's exactly right. He's accusing modern American journalism of being activism, not journalism. This is a January 3rd column. In a column 2 weeks later, he railed against a 2019 Colorado law that required elementary school children to be instructed in transgender ideology. Elementary school kids, without their parents being told or consulted, are now being taught transgender ideology. Some parents were not thrilled a couple years back when, during school, their little ones in Boulder Valley School District were treated to videos starring a transgender teddy bear teaching the kids how to misuse pronouns, or when Colorado's trans community choir sang to kids about a transgender raven. He wrote, what are the protections for a parent who feels that transgender singing groups and teddy bears with gender dysphoria might be stigmatizing for their kid? That's exactly right. Are parents not to be given any say-so in this kind of perversion that their kids are being taught? See, Reitzig got fired for all this. He said he was fired by the newspaper's editorial page editor, Megan Schrader. Megan told me I was the page's most read columnist, but there's now a permanently and perpetually offended class, and in order to speak, you need to use their terminology. There's a whole lot of you can't say that ism going on, Ron. Hell's bells, is that ever true? You can't say that. You can't say that. You know how many times a day I hear that? You can't say that. Hell, I can't. I just did. In an email to the Washington Free Beacon, Megan Schrader, who fired this columnist, confirmed that she had fired Caldara, but she declined to discuss the reason. She says, well, I tell you what I'm doing, right? I'm writing a job description as we speak to fill that position. I hope conservative Colorado writers will apply, knowing that we value conservative voices on our pages, and we don't have a litmus test for their opinions unless they happen to assert that there are only two genders. There's male and female. What else is there? Well, there's cisgender. There's cisbinary denial gender. There's denial cisgender, touchy-feely. Pick them. You know, whatever oddballs that exist, they'll assign a gender to them so that they have a sense of value and a sense of belonging, Mr. Limbaugh. It's easy for you who think you're normal to laugh at this, but there are people who are much more diverse in their thinking and behavior, and you must recognize them. You know, I can find recognize them all day long, but you don't get to arbitrarily change science, except that they do.
And in West Coast states and in other states, but I know specifically the West Coast states, children who are 13 can force their parents' insurance company to pay for wrong sex hormones in their body, and there ain't nothing the parents can do to stop it. The state of Oregon, they can force the parents to pay for the surgeries. Irreversible. Right? These things have real-world consequences. And this is something that Rush has been on the forefront of and the network's been on the forefront of. And speaking of that, later in June, right here at this time on this radio station, there's a new radio program that's going to debut on the EIB network. Buck Sexton, a guest host alum, and Clay Travis will host that program. Yesterday, Clay, who's also a Fox News contributor, appeared on Fox yesterday with Sandus Smith to discuss why he supports the Florida Governor DeSantis bill from a position of fairness.
Look, this is a challenging aspect for many people because it is still a relatively new story. And my position has been straightforward, particularly for adults. If an adult wants to make a decision that makes them happier, that's fine, but it shouldn't translate into the world of athletics. Here's an easy example, one that actually Caitlyn Jenner agrees with me on, running for governor of California. If Caitlyn Jenner, after being Bruce Jenner and winning to the decathlon, 4 years later had decided to come back and be a woman competing in the decathlon and the Olympics, that wouldn't have been remotely fair. She has acknowledged that as well, because even though she now has transitioned, she still has the physical stature of a male, which would allow her to be more competitive and to beat the other women in this competition. Good stat for you. In the state of Texas recently, over 300 high school boys ran the 100 meter faster than the fastest woman in the history of the world has ever done it. Men are bigger, stronger, and faster. That's not an insult to women's athletics. If anything, we are protecting the right of women to compete against other women and find out who the best man or the best woman is. But we can't allow, I don't believe, biological men to be competing against women because it sets up a fundamental unfairness.
It's Clay Travis making sense. And of course, Bruce Jenner, if he did make that change, right, and when he has, and he went back and said, okay, now it can compete, everyone, what would we do, right? How would people respond to this? Point of fact, and I think it was the Seattle women's pro soccer team trained against high school boys and lost the world team, right? There is such a thing as men and women, and women is defined as adult human female. Man, adult human male. Not hard stuff. We'll come back on the Rush Limbaugh program. Oh, there is this. Well, first of all, hey, hi, I'm Todd. I'm your guide host this week on the EIB network. Todd Herman. I do a little radio show in Seattle. We talk mostly about cooking and sewing. A little bit of politics from time to time. We'll dip into that a little bit. Democrat Representative Eleanor Norton Holmes has introduced legislation from the blaze Tuesday that requires automobile companies to test car safety using crash test dummies model on both male and female bodies. Now, see, this is exactly what we're talking about here. This does she not recognize there is no... How do you do that? There's no such thing. Here's what's remarkable to me. Someone, or was it her? I imagine sitting there, you're a congresswoman, and you're sitting there having your morning coffee or cocaine, as it may be, and you say, we need to fix this crash test dummy thing. We got a phone call from someone in Hiram, Utah earlier. Beautiful place. Hiram State Park is beautiful. And they're one of the meatpacking plants that's out of work right now, just before grilling season. We've got that. We had the attack on the oil system. We've got China, obviously belligerent with us. We have Russia belligerent with us. We have a absolute catastrophe at the southern border. We have the fact that Tony Fauci lied about everything related to the COVID flu in terms of the response. And Eleanor Norton Holmes said, you don't bring me the scraps. I want to do something. I want to change the world. I need to save lives. I need to outlaw crash test dummies that don't represent both sexes that my party says doesn't exist as much. Huh. Maybe Dean in Kennewick, Washington can help us figure this whole thing out. Dean, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host this week. Dean, I'm glad you called. Welcome.
Hey, Todd. Hey, I wanted to see if you could connect the dots for me. And maybe Rush has had something about this before. But it seems like the absurd is always what's promoted by progressives or leftists. Like the whole Benghazi thing about this being a stupid video. It didn't really actually pan out that way, yet they imprisoned the guy. The same thing happened even, like, with the virus. The whole thing with the virus about this being a bat. And it seems like, is this like a Democratic Alinsky tactic that kind of keeps getting perpetuated? And it takes well-meaning people that say, you know what, I'll listen. It sounds really stupid and absurd. But, I mean, what's your take on that?
Well, I think that the entire left is based upon a massive lie. And when your movement is based upon a lie, it can't be held up with the truth. The lie of leftism is that there's enough money in all the rich people's pockets to take it and power everything so that government does everything for you and still preserve human freedom. That's a massive lie. You can't hold that up with truth. So they get into this spectrum. The left spectrum is built upon deceit and lie to begin with. So to then try to defend that with truth puts them in an absolutely impossible position. So you can extend this down into, let's take just an example of teachers' unions. They're not teachers' unions. These are union unions. They're not school unions. They're not public schools any longer. Public schools stopped being public schools when they started shoving things down the throats of parents that they don't want. But they can't come and say that. They have to continually invent new lies. And so now the new lie is that as Joe Biden's dementia was saying, we talked about this earlier in the show, that the biggest national security threat to the United States of America is white supremacy. As Black Lives Matter traipses through the streets with their friends in Antifa, breaking things, getting people killed, calling for cops to be killed. So then they look at this. They say, well, wait a minute. No, we need to lie and say that's all the white supremacists are doing this. When your movement is based upon a core lie, and the core lie from the left, in addition to there being enough money to tax for the government to do everything, is that matches in any way human psychology. This goes back to Karl Marx, and it goes back to that core lie, that we, enough smart people in a small room, can make all the decisions for everyone else, and it will go better for everybody. They have to keep pasting over the holes in their lives. The war on poverty didn't work. The poverty rate hasn't changed. We didn't do it right. Well, what about this? What about now we're going to have the war against the COVID? That can't work. We've never succeeded in ending a virus. The Spanish flu 100 years ago is still around today. We just have these antibodies to it. That's the problem. Does that make sense that you can't support a system of lies with truth? Does that make sense, David?
Yeah, it does. It does, but it also kind of goes after what you're saying about a lie, perpetuating a lie as being a truth until it becomes somewhat of a truth. But it just seems almost so deviant that why can't, you know, more self-aware people just say, this just sounds preposterous.
No, but they do. But this is important. David, this is really, really important to understand. In private polling, if you ask people in private polling, do you think that men can be women because they say so? They'll say, nope. You ask them in private polling, do you think all white people are racist? Nope. The dynamic the left sets up is it's based on thugism. The thugism goes like this. Right now in the United States, you either agree with defunding the cops or you're a racist. You either agree that people who identify as transgender, that is boys, should be allowed to compete against girls, or you hate gay people. How gay people and transgenders connected is this. They connected them. That's it. They put them together. The two are not the same thing. People are one part afraid of hurting others, other part being hurt. It's said that the greatest fear in the world is public speaking. Most common fear, not greatest fear, but most common. I disagree entirely. People speak in public all the time. The greatest fear people have is being disliked, being seen as mean, being rejected. It's not the speaking out. It's not the saying that that's a dude or that's white people aren't racist because they're white. That's not the scary part. The scary part is the emotion of being called a racist or a bigot. And the left knows that, and they practice it. Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. Indeed it is. You know, I spent a good long time in the tech world, and I was rewarded financially and intellectually in that regard. And worked not directly for, but several lawyers under Bill Gates before he got weird. And I do believe that technology is, it's a tool. The problem is that modern tech titans think of us as the tools. Right? So much of their business model makes us the product. It's one of the reasons I personally don't have a smart speaker in my house. Not going to have a smart speaker in my house or a smart or a thermostat or anything like that. Two reasons. One is because I don't trust the CEOs of those companies and their leftism. The other is because I know that if something can be coded, then it can be hacked. That's just a fact. Code can be uncoded or recoded. But it's not tech that's the problem. Amazon customers have 1 week to opt out of a mass wireless sharing program. So the smart speakers and devices in your homes, Amazon foresaw that what they're really building is a nationwide Wi-Fi network, all these little touch points. Verizon did the same thing with their routers. Comcast Cable did the same thing with their routers. They were building a nationwide infrastructure of mobile hotspots. It's a proxy for a national Wi-Fi network, which would allow them to track and run ads, etc. It's a brilliant, brilliant move. So you have 1 week to turn off this wireless sharing. Because in my mind, hey, you want me to share my bandwidth? Send me a check. Oh, and by the way, let me censor what runs on my network because Amazon has censored things. Incidentally, it looks like Amazon and Barnes & Noble have removed from view the Fauci's new book called The Lone Grift. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. So Rush, of course, loved tech, absolutely loved it. And the media is playing this game. They want to get clicks and views with scare bait about Amazon's new device. But Rush warned us that that technology wasn't our problem. Liberalism is.
Are you aware of all of the talk from people like Bill Gates and Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking about the very real fear they have that artificial intelligence is going to wipe out humanity if we are not careful? Have you seen those stories? You have. Good. They're everywhere, folks, particularly if you spend any time reading tech news. Elon Musk and Bill Gates and Stephen Hawking are gods to techie millennial people. And so is Bill Nye, the science guy, to show you how screwed up these kids are. These four people are infallible. They are as close to religious figures as millennial leftists will acknowledge. And they're out there daily warning of the dangers posed by artificial intelligence. What's artificial intelligence? Well, think robots. I mean, basic artificial intelligence is Siri in your iPhone or whatever they have at Google, Alexis, the Amazon thing. All of these assistants in these various operating systems that you can talk to, dictate to, ask to find you things, that's a very, very rudimentary artificial intelligence. But it's being invested in daily. It's being explored. when you get into robotics. And I don't mean butler and servant and waiter, waitress kind of robotics, but real robotics that takes over some jobs and leaves people forever unemployed because the robots never get sick. We already have robotics. My point is, we've already got artificial intelligence. It's called liberalism. The real people we should be afraid of in the world today are the people universities are churning out. You can see it in the comment section at Twitter, at Facebook. You can see these people everywhere. They're the most arrogant, condescending excrement holes you have ever engaged, and they don't know anything, but they think they do. They think they know everything. They think they're smarter than you are. They think you're stupid to boot. In addition to them being smart, they're smug and they are condescending, but they don't know anything. They have not been taught anything. They have been indoctrinated. They have been propagandized. And it's fascinating to watch. And that's artificial intelligence. These people are the genuine robots in our society today. These are the mind-numbed robots that American education has been churning out, in the case of millennials, since daycare. And they are not learning critical thinking. They're not learning any thinking. They are sponges. They are mind-numbed robots. They're soaking it all up. That's the artificial intelligence that worries me. That's the robotics that worries me, not whatever is happening in the world of high-tech robotics. My point is, don't worry about AI. Don't worry about Siri taking control of your car and driving you off a cliff. Don't worry about any of that. Worry about the artificial intelligence, the artificial education, and the mind-numbed robots that American education is creating today.
There it is. I like I said, I spent years in the tech industry, and I know enough to know that if a publication like PC Magazine awards one company the same honor, their Editor's Choice Awards, for seven consecutive years, that the company's doing something really well. Longtime EIB network sponsor iDrive is that company winning the award again this year, being recognized as the best cloud backup service. That's what iDrive does. They provide you with a way to back up all your computer data with one safe, easy solution.
Small business owners, the lifeblood of America's economy, small business owners are contending with an unprecedented level of uncertainty these days. Now, as a small business owner, your business is your lifeline, and you're chomping at the bit, and you're scared to death. And the uncertainty of it all is what's driving you nuts. So one of the best things that you can do in the interim before it's reopened is to protect everything that you have on your computer related to your business, every business document, your customer database. You're going to need that when you rev up. And you're sitting there trusting it's going to be there. It's on your computer. Well, likely you're right. But what if there's an accident? What if one of the kids decides to start having fun by throwing Gatorade on your keyboard? You better be backed up is the point. And I, El Rushbo, have the solution for you. Now wait till you hear how much this doesn't cost. It's called iDrive, like iPhone. iDrive, it's a company that provides the easiest and best solution for cloud backup. And you can't have too many backups. What iDrive does is provides an online, off-site data backup service for all of your devices. And you can put them all on one account. You can back up your Mac or your PC. You can back up servers. You can back up your mobile phones. You can back up your tablets. The data from all of them can be backed up on one account and categorized by device for one low cost. You talk to anybody who suffered their computer crashing on them or had it stolen, they'll tell you. It is disconcerting. It's one of the most disabling things is not having to buy a new computer. It's having to live without all that data. iDrive makes it easy. You download the software one time. You allow it to operate in the background with iDrive software backing up your data on a schedule you set so that you maintain all your client records and everything else that you need. Sign up with iDrive. It's iDrive.com is the website. Use my name. And here's the 90% off your first year. And this is not a coronavirus price. They have been offering this for as long as they have been clients here. 90% off the first year, but plans starting at $6 a month before that discount. So 90%, that just means they want you. That means they love their service themselves. They trust it and they want as many people as possible on it, obviously. If you're not backed up, if you're not backed up enough, iDrive.com and use my name.
Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. We'll get to some phone calls to round out the show. I want to share this with you. It is well known that Rush loved cats. You know, he also loved dogs. And today's EIB high note happens to be about a dog named Sheldon, who failed, utterly failed as a service dog. The lab retriever mix essentially had the dog version of ADD, was constantly distracted by smells and couldn't focus. So, but the thing that was his downfall, that's his nose, became his best asset. He got a new career as an arson detection dog. Sheldon, I assume his owner, perhaps not Sheldon, enrolled in State Farm Insurance's arson dog program and went from being last in this class to the top in the class. After graduation, he was paired with Lieutenant John Tadlock of the Saginaw, Texas Fire Department. Tadlock said Sheldon had the potential all along. He was just in the wrong field.
So Sheldon initially started life as a some sort of service dog. All of State Farm's dogs are career change dogs, CNI dogs, epilepsy dogs, you know, that sort of thing. He flunked out of that school, and they tested him to see if he could be an arson dog, and he made a better arson dog than he did a service dog, and lo and behold, here he is.
So, of course, inherent in that is the message to all of us. Let's not limit ourselves just because of a perceived weakness, because often that can be turned into a strength, can't it? Yes, let's talk to Mike in Des Moines, Iowa. Mike, you're in the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host this week. So glad you joined us, Mike. Welcome.
Thanks, Todd. I'm really enjoying you talking about all the hypocritical things that haven't come true that these people are predicting. But I hope you articulate over the next few days or weeks. Remember back to 1999, Al Gore was behind the world's going to blow up when the calendar turns to 2000 because the computers aren't going to handle it. You better get your money out of the banks. Don't fly on an airplane that day. Don't take a train.
Yep.
And look at all the people that believe that, and we're just going crazy. And
all the money that got made. There was enormous, enormous money made in technology by people coming along and saying, we'll double back up your backups. Yes, great point.
Yep, exactly. So thanks a lot.
No, I think you were going to say something else. I think you were going to say that experts are never held to account. And that's a brilliant point. And Mike, I want to thank you for the phone call. Folks, listen, we started this program by demonstrating Rush's prescience. When he talked about Obamacare being, you know, forcing us to buy products we don't want from companies we don't want at prices we cannot afford as an effort to change forever American society. And we mapped that back to Tony Fauci's lies about the response to the COVID flu. Fauci is just like the architect of Obamacare. Johnny Gruber bragged about lying to the American people. And Fauci has not yet bragged about lying to the American people, although he has admitted it. He said that on TV. Well, I did lie about the percentage of people who need to be sickened to get the antibodies. But now I think people are ready to listen to me. He must be held to account. He must be. Because the harm of this selective, politically advantageous, deadly, medically useless lockdowns, all predicated upon something Fauci knew to be a lie, this asymptomatic transmission, is an ungodly amount of harm, lives, fortunes, states of mind, etc. And one of the things that I think our call wanted to say was experts are never held to account. Let's hold Fauci to account because lies are all around us, right? The left is promoting them left and right, so to speak. Mike in the Bronx, you're on the Rush Limbaugh program. Mike, welcome to the Rush Limbaugh program. Todd Herman, your guide host this week. Hi, Mike.
I just wanted to get this straight. So you could lose your job and basically be professionally executed if you think there's only two genders, but a liberal lawmaker thinks that crash dummies only come in two genders?
Yes. See, they've set such an illogical, ridiculous trap that sometimes they accidentally speak relative truth. Yes. You have that right, Mike. That's you understand that well. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Exactly what they're doing.
Which is what exactly they're doing?
Just making victims of everybody because that's how they're getting their votes.
Yeah. Right. And in the case of, look, there is the invention. We talked about the invention of the word transgender from something that was meaningful. It is transsexual being something. It's verifiable. You've had hormones or surgery, to this invention of this word transgender. And then you loop this back around, like how we started this program. The left is getting groups of kids addicted to these, you know, injections and surgeries for their very image in life. And what did Rush tell us? That the left with critical race theory steals people's actual identities, steals who they actually are, makes them permanent victims. And that's what we've been watching, right, in all of these things as they unfold. Not to mention the fact, how long will it take to test 57 genders of crash test dummies? And as a drive-by caller said, and I issue this challenge, I, a guide host on the EIB network, officially issue this challenge to the WNBA. Everybody help me out with this. Just get in touch with them and ask, will you take on Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, retired male players, or top-level male high school athletes if they simply say, I'm a woman now? Will you let them play in the WNBA? Let's have the tryouts. It's Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network. It's been an extraordinary honor to be able to share today's program with you. It's always an honor to be on the EIB Network, and I always want to extend thanks to the team behind the scene who puts this show together out of a great labor of love. We mentioned earlier in the program the new show that's coming up on this radio station during this time, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, and I pray them all the greatest possible luck and success, and they don't need luck, success and all. I also wanted to say this, that I really encourage you to listen back, not because of me, to listen back, become Rush 24/7. You must hear what Rush shared with us about the lie of Obamacare, and please, you must compare it to the lies Tony Fauci told about the COVID flu. It's vital. And it's also vital to understand that, as I've said before, our freedom of speech can save this country. God gave us words to communicate with one another. It is vital, in my judgment, that we talk about the facts of Fauci's lies, and that lies are never about spreading truth. They're never about spreading love. They're never about spreading health. Lies are the opposite of health. They're disorder. That together, spread that word. It's great to be with you, Todd Herman, your guide host this week on the EIB Network.